Hello and welcome. This is Pagan Spirituality Today, episode number 15, The Ghost Show. It's October the 29th. It's a driving rain in western Washington. And tonight, we're going to talk about ghosts and spirits and spooks. Join us, won't you?
Hey everyone, this is Kvelderda. I'm sitting here with Oni.
Hello, everyone.
We are going to be doing something unusual today. This show has been recorded in a number of different segments. Oni and I are going to read some listener submissions, ghost stories. Then we will play a pre-recorded section where Oni, I, Golden Bird Rising, and Ivaldi had spoken some time ago. Then we will add some more listener stories. And then we'll close up the show. Before we get to that, I've had two reviews at iTunes recently, which I think were really insightful, good reviews. Not simply because they liked me. Don't get me wrong. I think you should all go there and read the reviews. I think they were very informative, and I really appreciate iTunes reviews in case any of you have considered leaving one. I want to mention that you can find the show on Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, Podbean, and of course at iTunes. I haven't mentioned that in forever. So, Oni, Samhain is a couple of days away. Are you getting excited?
Yeah, I am. It looks like it's going to be a good Samhain this year.
Pretty rainy these last few days where you have flood warnings going on. Is it supposed to rain again on Saturday?
I think we're supposed to have rain all the way through till Saturday. But that's a good thing because we haven't really had much rain all summer. So it's a good thing.
It is, although it's all coming at one time, so it's a bit of a problem. It's been getting cold. Definitely feels like fall. Moving into winter around here.
I thought a couple of times we would have had frost already, but it hasn't gotten that cold yet.
Not that cold, but it's definitely getting close. So we have a couple of listener stories to share with you that came in after our recorded conversation with Ivaldi and Golden Bird. So the first story is going to be read by Oni. Who's the story from?
This story is from Carol D.
Okay.
And she wrote, "I think there's more to this world than we can see or explain. Have I had any experience with ghosts? I don't know. There was the one time where I was in this state half asleep and half awake, where I could not move a muscle, and by my bedside was this shadow figure standing by it. It took me a few minutes or so to get my body to flop over onto my stomach and wake myself up all the way. Of course, there was no one there. Imagination or ghost? Or the time walking home by a shadowy area, overshadowed by some trees over the concrete area and the streetlight dimly lighting just around the area. Out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw a tall, thin figure standing there. And when I looked, it was just a shadowy corner with a dim light all around. Imagination or ghost? At the time, I'd been walking home by myself in the dark, yes, from the library, and just focused on getting home, not thinking of anything in particular, except that maybe my mom was going to be pissed at me. Huh. That was the same night I was at least half a block from home, and all of a sudden I could have sworn I had heard my mom's voice berating me, 'Carol, come home.' I think the only one experience that I could possibly say was truly ghostly was when my mother, brother, and I were living with mom's uncle, and this was months after his wife died, and around 3 a.m. in the morning. Mom and I shared one room, and my brother had his own. We heard someone walking back and forth between the garage and down our hallway. Keep in mind, mom's uncle was away on a trip to Reno, and my brother thought it was me walking out to get books at 3 a.m., and we thought it was him, though we could not understand why he would be walking around. Next morning we asked, and our eyes got wide as saucers when we both realized neither had been walking around at 3 a.m. On that note, I do believe in spirits, souls, and ghosts, yes. Do I truly understand? Not really.
Well, there was a little bit of everything in that story. Thanks for writing in, Carol.
And here's another story. This is from our friend Melissa. Hi, Melissa. This is her ghost story. After moving into a small World War I era bungalow, I noticed that I would wake up every night at 3 a.m. I always awoke with a feeling that a small child was asking me for a glass of water. Having no children at the time, this was odd. This happened several times a week. Sometimes I would find myself half awake, comforting the child. Our bedroom was in a loft that used to be the attic bedroom for 6 children. Over the headboard of our bed were 2 small sliding windows. I'm a fresh air freak, so I often left the windows open. They also served as cat doors. One night, I was lying on my side in bed reading a book. I felt a thump behind my back as if something had jumped onto the bed. Assuming it was my cat, I reached my hand behind me to pet him. He was not there. I turned and saw the perfect impression of a child's behind on the sheets. I felt it jump up and heard the pitter-patter of little feet running down the stairs. After that, the visits came less often.
Well, that's an interesting story. Thanks a lot for providing that, Melissa.
And I'm noticing a trend here of 3 a.m.
Or late in the night, early in the morning, that sort of thing. Interesting. And now here's our discussion, previously recorded. Joining me again tonight for this special episode is my wife, Onee.
Hello, everyone.
Golden Bird Rising.
Hello.
And Ivaldi.
Good evening.
And I've asked them to come in tonight to share some stories with me and to have a good time, talk about ghosts, read your emails and your stories. But before we get into that, I want to talk about what ghosts are from our point of view. So I feel like a lot of people see spirit, ghost, ancestor as synonyms. They don't make a distinction between those things, and that's fine, but we do. So I'd like to let you know what those distinctions are. So to us, an ancestor is the spirit of a human being, a person, who has died and gone on to the land of the dead or that next place, that next realm, whatever you're going to call that. A ghost is a person or a part of a person, maybe one aspect of their personality, one part of their soul, that somehow got trapped here or got lost here, or it's even possible it's just replaying part of life and it's not even aware of us around it. But a ghost is very different, very separate from an ancestor. So we're going to be talking about ghosts tonight and sharing our stories about them. So we all agree on that definition, right? Do you have anything to add to that part?
I just wanted to add in also that I think there is a memory component to ghost-type activity. And I've read it several times, and I've had the experience too, where it seems like some of what we observe or might term as ghost behavior could actually be some kind of a spiritual memory of a person or an activity or an emotion that took place in a particular spatial area. It could be even extended beyond that to just psychic energy in general that has accumulated in a specific place. So, you know, your experiences could be that, or they could be a specific entity or individual. It just kind of depends on the situation and the place.
It's good that you bring that up, because that's common in the literature. I think they call it spiritual memory or psychic memory. It's an imprint on space and time in a location. All right, well, we've defined what we think a ghost is, so let's get right into the meat of the matter. I'm going to tell the story about the first ghost that I ever saw. Now, I'm making air quotes here. You can't see that. I mean saw as in real to me as any other living person. Really, this has only happened to me once. I was 20, 21 years old. I was a pagan for just a couple of months at that point. It was in Germany. I was driving to a co-worker's house. She was gone for the weekend and asked another co-worker of ours to house sit. We both lived in the dorms, and he thought, hey, it'd be kind of cool to hang out and drink a lot of beer in somebody's house instead of hang out in the dorms all weekend. I could not get out to the house until about midnight. I had to work.
It was about 11:30, and I was driving through the German countryside on a very small, winding farm road, which was most of the roads in Germany. As I said, it was about 11:30. It was quite dark. I was fairly tired. And I was minding my own business, and as I was driving along, I caught out of the corner of my eye in the rear view the image of a man, the clear image of a man sitting in the back seat of the car. And it freaked me out, and I jerked my head around to look. And sure enough, I saw a completely physical man in his 30s, early 40s. He had dark hair, dark clothing, a somber look on his face, and he was staring out the window of the car, sort of over at the fields we were driving through. And I probably only looked at him for one full second, but in that course of time, he turned his head, looked right at me, did not change his facial expression in any way, turned back to the field, and continued looking out. During the time I looked at him, the 1 second or 2 seconds it took, I came up to the next curve in the road and spun my head around and jerked the wheel of the car to keep it on the road. And in just that second, when I looked in the rearview again, he was gone. Now, as I said, I was a pagan. I had worked with spirits at this point, but I had never seen anything that looked like a real person, that was entirely solid, that was totally corporeal. And I was shocked by it. And I said, I had to have seen a ghost. I don't know what else that could have been. And my hands were a little shaky on the wheel, and I drove to our friend's house. And my friend there, though not a pagan, not a magical person, was pretty easygoing and tended to believe, well, things could happen. And I said, dude, I'm totally freaked out. I just saw a ghost. And his response was, we have a lot of beer. Don't worry about it. And he got me a beer out of the fridge, and we talked a little about the nature of ghosts and death. And that was a huge experience that 20 years later, I remember as if it happened yesterday. And now here's a story from a listener.
This message is from Soaring Lilith. I love your podcast. Wonderful topics and content. I'd like to share with you my story about our ghost. My husband and I purchased an antique wardrobe about 5 years ago. Almost immediately, we noticed odd things around the house. For instance, my candles, in their candle holders, would be all upside down. A light I just turned off would turn back on, shutting a door, and moments later finding it open again. Really silly stuff. Immediately, the family and I blamed the wardrobe. Nothing else was different. And we lived in a house we built, so no history in the house at all. Talking to my kids about this, I asked them their impression of our ghost. Both of my boys said, being 12 and 8 at the time, they thought it was a little girl. Funny, my husband and I always felt it was a little girl too. None of us felt threatened or worried by this visitor. It was as if she were playing games with us. She quickly became a part of the family. Well, there was a period where she got a little miffed about something. She started opening doors in front of the kids, scaring them to death. She slammed a door on my husband, and she even took out all the screws from the hinges of the wardrobe. We had had enough of her misbehavior. We cleaned and oiled the wardrobe and had a stern talk with her. We told her she can't behave in that manner, and if she continues to do so, we will ask her to leave. But we also promised that we'd pay more attention to her. I'm happy to say our little ghost girl is back to playing silly tricks. Doors, lights, candles and all. We live pretty harmoniously and feel quite at home with our otherworldly friend.
That's a cool story. I mean, that's one of the less common stories where a ghost appears to be attached to an object. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, I've heard or read of such things, but I think that's the first story I've actually heard that was in detail about that kind of a haunting.
Yeah, I've heard about stuff being connected to maybe jewelry or some, like, personal effects, but this would be, I think, like, the first furniture. Although, I have had experiences with, like, say, tables or something, but that's more of, like, a psychic imprint. Versus a
like
ghost.
Psychometry, like residue left over.
Yeah,
I'd like to say too. I think it's
commendable that there was a harmonious relationship that was worked out. Because usually you hear, you know, someone either being pushed out of their home by, you know, an unpleasant spirit, or, you know, having some sort of a priestly figure come in and exorcise the house to get rid of that undue influence. So I think it's really kind of heartening to see people living together with the spiritual world in a good way.
That was another thing that I was going to comment about, is that the family said they didn't feel threatened, therefore they didn't feel like they had to push the ghost out. The ghost did not appear to say, look, I really want to get out, will you help me move on? Because it's our opinion that if the ghost wants to move on, that should be the priority. They should be allowed to get on to that next place. But if they're happy, if they're comfortable where they are, people working things out always seems like a better answer. But it just seems so rare. So I want to thank Soaring Lilith for sending in that story. That was a great story. So who else has a story that they want to share?
We can relate to the doors opening and stuff getting moved around, because at several of the places where we've lived, we've had ghost activity. Some of the more memorable ones is when we lived in Ohio in a house that was built in
1900.
It still had the old gas lines for gas lighting in it. Mm-hmm. And it had a huge wooden front door. And I think it would have been about 3 o'clock in the morning, not too long after we had moved in and we had changed all the locks and whatnot.
It was a bad neighborhood, so security was an obvious issue.
Right, and the door was kind of hard to open and close anyways. And something felt not right in the house. And I woke up and our dog, Cody, woke up with me. And we went downstairs and the front door was wide open.
And I wasn't home. You and the dogs were there alone.
Yeah, it was just me and the dogs. And I thought, oh my God, the door is like way open. I know I locked it before I went to bed because we had a deadbolt on it. We had a regular lock on it. It wasn't easy to open or close. And
it was kind of loud, too. You couldn't just
open it
quietly.
Right. It was kind of freaky. I do work with the dead and ghosts and things as a medium, but it's still kind of freaky. Your front door being way open in a bad neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning.
This clearly physical manifestation, you know? I mean, your immediate thought is someone is in the house. Someone has gotten in. Even pagans, even mediums, don't automatically assume things are spiritual in nature.
No, I assumed that somebody tried to get in the house. So I went back upstairs, I got the shotgun, and then I checked the house. Me and the, well, big fraidy cat. Fraidy cat of a dog.
So who else has a story that they want to share?
I've got a great one.
Okay.
I grew up in an old ghost town. It was previously a mining town. They mined silver there, and there was always something going on in the house at night. Lots of stories. But the most memorable one, the one that had the most physical activity attached to it, happened on a night when my parents were out late at a party, which they didn't do very often. I had invited a friend over because I knew my parents were going to be out late. And we'd just been doing girl stuff all night, having fun. I think we were about 10, 12, somewhere in there. And finally got tired enough that we could settle down to bed. And we were laying in bed, just doing our final talking stuff. And we're about to go to sleep. And we heard somebody start walking down the hall. We knew it wasn't my parents because we would have heard them come in the house. We heard somebody walk right down the hall, stop at my bedroom door, open up the door, then close the door behind them. They walked around the bed to her side, picked up her bag with everything she brought over for the sleepover, dumped it out on the floor, and then disappeared. When we got up in the morning, her stuff was all over the floor. It took us a while to go to sleep that night.
So you stayed in the bed after all this stuff is dumped on the floor? Oh, I mean,
We didn't dare get out of bed.
I think they invoked the sacred blanket principle.
The blanket powers?
Yes, the special blankets
were over the head. We were holding each other tightly.
Two-thirds of the body is exposed under the blanket, but as long as it's over the head, you're good and safe. That is a sacred power that Oni introduced me to, actually. I was not aware of that power prior to.
Look, it works.
Wow, that's pretty scary. Pretty intense stuff.
About how old were you when this happened?
Around 10, 12.
Oh, wow. That must have been really scary.
Did your friend ever sleep over again?
Yeah, she did. She lived in the same town, so she was used to the same thing.
Yeah, that's an intense experience. Well, in that same house in Dayton, we had footsteps regularly on the stairwell. We would have lights go on and off, but it was never when you're standing there. You don't see the switch going flick, flick, flick.
Or the
damn toilet seat.
Yes, the lid on the toilet. I would always keep it shut so the dog wouldn't be getting in the toilet. She wouldn't ever pop the lid or anything, but I'd have the lid down and I'd go back upstairs to, say, put laundry or something away or just go upstairs to get something. And the toilet lid would be up again. We knew that there was somebody else in the house, and I had said, like, look, as long as you leave us alone, I'll leave you alone.
Right, the initial conversation was no more opening the door.
Right, no more opening the door.
Because that happened two or three times in the middle of the night. We said, look, this scares us to death. You can't do this. And then it went to lights and toilet seat and...
Just a little frustrating.
I used to stay up late and watch TV after you went to bed. And at least once a month, I would hear those voices that you can't make out. They're just far enough away. The TV would be on and you're hearing, as if there's a conversation just in the next room. And I'd say, what is that? And you turn the volume off on the TV and it stops. And you say, are there people in the street? And I'd open the curtain and look out and nobody's out there. And turn the volume back on the TV and then, damn it! And you turn the sound off. What is that? And it was just enough to make you aware of it and annoy you. And I'd say, okay, I've heard you. I'm aware of your existence. Now shut up. I'm watching TV. Other than the door opening, nothing was ever threatening or dangerous. But it was this constant minor annoyance of, I just want you to know I'm here. Ivaldi, do you have any stories?
Probably the only thing that I would talk about at this point that's along these lines. At a restaurant that I worked at a number of years ago, it was actually the restaurant where I met my wife, Golden Bird. I was the lead cook, and the restaurant itself was actually an old residential home that had been converted into a restaurant and coffee shop. And I guess during the time that I worked there, I remembered quite a few occasions where I would hear the owner chastising one of the servers in the morning, or in the early afternoon, for having left the light on upstairs. There was a dining area upstairs that was probably originally a bedroom of some kind, but it had been redone with a hardwood floor and tables. And part of the server's responsibility was to go up and sweep and wipe down and turn the light off before they came down and we locked the doors to close the restaurant. And like I said, a number of times the owner, you know, had made comment to one server or another, or the same one on several occasions, for having forgotten to turn that light off. And I never really thought anything about it. I just figured it was forgetfulness. Until one night when I actually had to go and do that myself and clean up there. And I remember very specifically being conscious of the light, because I had heard several times before that it was important to turn it off. So I wiped down and swept and turned the light off, and remember looking behind me as I went down the stairs to see that the light was off. And it was. Went down, finished up downstairs, locked the doors, and walked out into the parking lot to my car and looked behind me up to the upstairs window, and the light was on. So I guess from my own experience, I know that there must have been something going on there, and since then I've had a lot more to do with that spirit than I'll get into here, but it's just another example of ghosts in particular that like to have meddlings in our daily life and perhaps even play tricks on us, if that's what you'd want to call it. And I don't know, that's my little tidbit that's along the same lines of the other stories we've heard here.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because the other servers, even ones that weren't particularly into ghost stories, would talk about it. It was kind of a running, a running joke. Didn't they call him? Did they call him Daniel?
Daniel, yeah.
Yeah, they called him Daniel. They named him Daniel, and he was a male spirit. So there, you know, you have people that are picking up on that, even though they
Even though they don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
And that happens a lot. Like when I've worked in kitchens, somehow the topic of ghosts will come up. There would be people who would say, oh, I don't really believe in ghosts, and then come right out with a story of, oh, this happened to my sister, or this happened in my house, or something happened with my dad, or someone close to the family.
Everyone always claims they don't believe in ghosts, but everyone has a ghost story.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're going to pause for a minute to listen to a story. When we come back, we are going to delve into the deep, dark mystery of why do ghosts like the potty.
Hi, Cafelderda. I love your show. This is Scarlett from Lakefront Pagan Voice, and I wanted to contribute to your ghost show. The only thing that I really have that happened to me personally was this little tiny incident that happened in the basement of a complex, a bar complex. There's several bars in this building, and in the basement is a pool hall. So there's several billiards tables lined up. And my friends were playing on one of the billiards tables, and I was sitting watching them waiting for a friend. And it was a pretty quiet night, so there wasn't a whole lot of people around. And so somebody yanked on my ponytail. I had really long hair at the time, and people tended to, you know, greet me by grabbing my hair, which I thought was really rude. So I was spun around to give this person a piece of my mind, and of course no one was there. And I looked up and down and all around, and there wasn't anybody that was even within sprinting distance of me. This person, there's just no way that somebody would have been able to get in and out of range without me seeing them. So I was really puzzled and confused, like who pulled my hair, who did this, and I never figured it out, and to this day I think it could have possibly been something supernatural. I don't know, because it certainly wasn't somebody that I could see. Anyways, blessed be.
All right, thanks a lot, Scarlett, for sending that story in, the only MP3 that I received. What I left the cliffhanger on, the deep, dark mystery of specters in the potty. What is going on with this, Oni? Tell us. What is going on?
I don't know, but it does seem to be something I encounter a lot of. When we were driving truck together and I would go into the ladies' room going about my business, and it would seem as if there were other women in there. Like occasional rattlings or noises or that sort of thing. But I would not have heard the door to the bathroom open or close. And there was just a little bit of rustling of the other bathroom doors or maybe noises over by the sink. So I would come out expecting to see another woman doing makeup or brushing her hair or that sort of thing. And there wouldn't be anyone else in the room physically. And I would feel kind of silly thinking, gosh, it sounded like there was someone else in here and there's no one else in here with me. Some of the places that I went to, it seemed pretty consistent.
I've experienced this too in the men's room in some public places. And it is as though you're fooled the whole time. You're sure someone is in there with you. You think you're hearing someone in there with you. And yet, there's nobody in there. That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much.
I have a similar story. When I was in elementary school, the bathroom right next to the office was like that. No one went in there, ever. Never. Not even in an emergency. I did go in there a couple of times, but it was just so creepy. It was like you walked in there and you were entering somewhere different. The lighting was not a nice, warm, fluorescent color. It was like, it was blue. It felt cold in there. It was creepy. And everyone just knew. That was the haunted bathroom.
Like, you just didn't go in there.
Yeah. I think occasionally people went in there to do Bloody Mary and turn the lights off and, you know.
Well, like, most of the listeners of the show are probably Harry Potter fans, and there's Moaning Myrtle, right? Yeah. The spirit in the girl's bathroom.
Yeah, but she's not scary or anything. She's just kind
of sad. No, but the bathroom ghost thing is not always a scary thing, but this is not confined to the women's room. It's a public bathroom, office bathroom sort of thing. It could be broad daylight. It could be a busy place. Nobody in there, and there's never been anybody in there. This is really common. Actually, Oni and I were talking about it a few years back. We do so much traveling, or at that time we did. And she said to me, you know, I swear there was a ghost in the potty. And I said, you too? Has that happened to you? But we've kept tabs on this for years. And I'm telling you, there is some kind of ghost potty conspiracy going on in America. I don't know what it's about, but it's happening.
There is obviously a metaphysical connection between spirit activity and running water. And maybe the fact that the bathroom is sort of a source of running water, or a place where sort of a conjunction of private behavior and quietness and water all come together at once.
Or particularly the emotional complexity of such private behavior, like using the bathroom in a public place.
Right.
Or like Ivaldi said earlier, where it's an imprint of a place.
Accumulated energy.
Yes, an accumulated energy of it.
Sure. It seems like that's as good a possibility as any. Okay, well, let's get out of the bathroom now. Ivaldi, you had something you told me earlier you wanted to talk about?
Yes, I know in your original story you said that you had physically seen a ghost in the car with you when you were in Germany. And I guess I felt it important for me to say that I've never actually physically seen a ghost. I'm sure there's lots and lots of people out there that are in the same boat as I am. I have, however, had the chance to psychically see and hear ghosts many, many different times. And that's really the basis for all of my interactions that I've ever had with ghosts or spirits in general or ancestors. That's really another topic for another time or another show, psychic hearing and seeing, and hopefully I can help participate in that because it's something I think is important for anybody serious about a pagan or spiritual life to learn how to do or to have experience with. Along those lines, though, I think it's important that maybe we could all talk about a little bit how spirits in general or ghosts can affect us, either in positive or negative ways. And I think maybe Oni had some anecdotes about that.
Yeah, I do. We were all together visiting a cemetery that you had taken us to in Utah. You guys were walking along, and I was walking in another section of the graveyard, and I started walking like a little old woman, kind of my hands closer up to my chest, a little bit of a limp. And it was as if the spirit of, like, a little old lady got in me and was walking around.
Walking you around.
Yeah, like walking me around.
Like you're a suit.
Yes. And she wasn't harmful or hurtful or anything like that. But it was a little intrusive that it made me think, well, if I'm going to be going into graveyards and things, I should maybe be a little bit more aware instead of just going and going, lolly, lolly. Because people that are more open to them, it could be troublesome.
You're more receptive. You have to prevent them from coming in, or they can just kind of slide on in. And another example of that is a couple of years ago, we were visiting a pagan retreat in Pennsylvania, and we were staying in a hotel. It was time for us to leave the hotel room and go back to the retreat. And you were sitting on the bed watching cartoons, which is something you generally don't do. And I was trying to get your attention, and it was like you weren't hearing me. And I said, honey, honey, let's go, come on, get off of there. And you turned your head to me very slowly and gave me a blank look. And I thought, the lights are on, but I don't know if anybody's in there.
For me, I don't have a real memory of that time period. I remember sitting down on the bed and waiting for you and your brother to get ready.
And when your face was looking at me, I put my finger out and I told you to follow my finger with your eyes. And your eyes followed my finger obediently from left to right. But when your eyes went to the side and the whites were centered, there was another set of eyes in there
staring, and I thought, uh-huh, okay, now what do we have here? I remember being a little annoyed at the time. I was like, what are you doing letting whoever that is in there? Get those people out of here. We got stuff to do. And you went, what? And I said, look, there's somebody, a ghost or something, in you watching these cartoons. We got things to do. And immediately you became aware of it, and you moved it right out of you, and everything was normal again.
I guess the thing for me is I find it a little worrisome. There's that short period of time there where I was not aware of what was going on. I just remembered sitting down on the bed, and then at one point you saying for me to follow your finger, but it sounded like you were coming from very far away. I've seen some traffic on Pagan Space and some other websites where people talk about, oh, ghosts can't hurt you.
Not only that, they can't really affect you, they can't hurt you.
Right, and we've seen that this is not necessarily the case.
It's certainly not always true.
Right.
I think it's interesting at this point to mention that there are so many cultures out there that have folk beliefs, or what some people might term superstitions that relate to the dead, or to ghosts, or to graveyards. It's easy from our ethnocentric perspective to dismiss those as purely superstitious. But in my view, there's a real reason why those things have evolved over time. I mean, it's not just fear of death, in my mind. It's not just fear of death. It's not just fear of the unknown. Over the centuries of interacting between people and their environment, those things have come about for a reason. And that is because spirits and ghosts can affect us. And they can affect what happens in our lives.
And just as there are happy people and angry people and all types of people, there are all types of ghosts.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and the very fact of becoming a ghost usually means you're lost or you're broken. Something has happened to you where the normal progression of death and removal to the other world has been interrupted, has been stopped in some way. And I agree with Ivaldi completely. You would not have society after society over thousands of years continuing a silly, pointless superstition. Tribal culture is practical culture. They do what works. They ignore what doesn't work. They ignore what does not move the culture forward. We, modern people, are the ones that will perpetuate useless ideas and ignore things that actually matter.
I think some of it comes from not wanting to believe the truth. That frightens some people on such a core or foundational level that they just can't deal with it.
Absolutely. And if your religious perspective is that when you die, you don't go to a particular place and instead you are held in judgment for all of the acts that you've done in your life, depending on how you lived your life, it might be very easy to ignore the fact that that could be true. And to ignore a whole world of things that might be obvious to other people, death, ghosts, that sort of thing, and the blind assumption that nothing happens at all. Maybe it's easier to accept to some other people.
Hi, it's Kveldrida and Oni again, breaking in with another listener story. This one is from Amber. Amber says, okay, here goes. The haunting took place in a parsonage. For those of you not from the UK, that means the home of a churchman, clergyman, what have you. My son and I were living with my friend, her daughter, and husband. I was looking after her children. It started out innocent enough, with just the doorknobs turning by themselves. Then I started hearing sounds, like music off in the distance. This went on for months. I remember seeing a perfect circle of light on the wall of my bedroom. I wanted to see what the source of the light was, so I walked to the wall and placed my hand where the ball of light was. To my surprise, my hand did not block the light. I waved my hand in front of it. Nothing blocked the light. I then realized that there was no light entering the room that could make a ball of light. It was just there. I wasn't scared, just fascinated. Then one night the dog, a large German shepherd, started barking and howling at nothing. The dog was sitting in the yard, staring at a large stone and going nuts over it. The window started to shake as well, and there was no wind that night. I was scared, but it didn't really rattle me. Several more weeks passed with nothing more than the doorknobs turning and the sound of far-off music. I say music, but my girlfriend said she could not hear it. Then one day my girlfriend mentioned to me that they were going away for 2 days. That's when things really started to happen. The dog started barking again. The windows and doors began to shake. I went to my son's room and checked on him. He was sound asleep. I went to my room and went to bed. There was no more activity that night. The day was quiet as well. No doorknobs turning, no music in my head. That night, though, the dog started barking at the stone, and the windows and the door were shaking, this time harder than ever. I was very frightened. I heard my son crying and ran to his room. A red ball came out of the wall and tried to attack me. I ducked it each time it came at me. I grabbed my son and headed to my room. I placed my son on the bed and sat up with him until he went to sleep. Everything seemed to calm down in the home. I left the room and checked around. All was quiet again. I decided to try and get some rest, so I went back to my room and had just laid my head on the pillow when I heard my name coming out of the fan, like someone was behind the fan calling my name. I sat straight up, turned the fan off, and unplugged it. The dog started in again, along with the windows and the door shaking. I didn't get much sleep that night. My son slept right through it, luckily, though. I spent that morning packing my things. I didn't want to be there anymore. When my friend finally returned home, I told her everything that had happened, told her that my son and I were going to leave. She didn't want me to go, but she understood. I am so very glad to have gotten away from that place. I hope I never go through anything like that ever again. So, yeah, Amber, that's a pretty scary story. Sounds very much like poltergeist activity with the rattling and the talking. Definitely a scary story. Thanks for sending that in, Amber. And now back to our discussion.
We have done a lot of ghost hunting, quote unquote, over the years. We've gone to cemeteries and haunted buildings and wandered about on battlefields saying, "Here, ghosty, ghosty, ghosty," in an attempt to release lost souls. We don't normally bring cameras. We're not interested in writing books. We don't care to make a circus show out of a lost soul. But if we can find a way to get them out, we feel like it's the responsibility of people who know how to do that to do that.
During one of our seances, and there was that very nice old man who was stuck here because when he passed away, he didn't have his Bible.
Physically, he didn't have a Bible on him at the time.
And he felt that that was not right for him to meet his maker.
He said he could not go to his creator without the good book, to pass right. on without it.
It was just the simplest thing to help him pass over was we happened to have a Bible in the house. We put it in his hands because he was in a person at the time. He opened it up, he read a couple passages,
and he moved on. What annoys me, what angers me more than anything, is television shows and depictions of ghost hunting who tell a family who's terrified by a poltergeist, "Yes, we're confirming you have a serious problem here, you're not insane, good luck with that." And then out the door they go.
Having a priest come in and get rid of a ghost does no good because religion is for the living and the ghosts don't give a rat's bottom about it.
And most ghosts are no more evil than you or I.
I remember when we were in Ohio, there's a woman there who does a series of Haunted Ohio books, and I went to one of her book signings and I asked her, I said, "Well, you say you're a medium and you're going around to all these places to find out if they're haunted or not, do you help those people move on?" And she said, "Oh no, I don't do that."
I think she actually said it's not her responsibility.
Yeah, it's not her responsibility.
And nor was she interested. She didn't know how and was not interested in learning how.
And I was, to say the least, angered by that.
Imagine being dead for 100 years or 200 years and no one helps you and you don't know what to do, I don't know how a sane part of you maintains through that isolation.
To bring in popular culture, I felt some parts of Sixth Sense by M. Night Shyamalan were accurate.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Not every ghost is a suicide or through violent death. I have not ever seen people in the way they've passed. Usually it's their memory of themselves.
Right, but that might be personal difference between each medium, each person,
right,
etc. Evaldi, a while back you said generally you only see ghosts with your spiritual sight, which is also true for me. I've only actually seen with my physical eyes a ghost once. Can you tell us a little bit, just what is spiritual sight?
Well, I guess it varies a great deal depending on the circumstance and my state of mind or state of being. I think at the most absolute basic level, it's nothing more than a feeling. Much like how we spoke earlier about sensing a spirit in a bathroom stall or feeling a presence of a female spirit attached to a wardrobe. It's basic level, nothing more than that. But it can go far beyond that. I think in its most developed form, you know, it would be the use of your third eye, your sixth chakra, to actually see an image of that spirit in your mind's eye, much like you would see with your physical eyes if you were looking at that spirit. Obviously, there will be some difference in opinion as to what that spirit would look like or does look like, using spiritual sight from one person, using it to another. But really, that's kind of the essence of it. I don't know if there's any more fleshing out of it beyond that that you'd like to add, but that's kind of the essential mechanics of it.
It was a big concept, and it's not something I've talked about in the show before, and I didn't want to leave it hanging out there for the listeners to say, now what exactly does that mean? Well, everyone, that's pretty much what we had for you tonight. That's the big ghost show. I want to thank everybody that has sent in an email or an MP3. I want to thank my panel, Oni, Golden Bird, and Evaldi for coming into the studio and helping me out. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good night.
You're welcome.
Happy haunting. Oh!
So thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a good night.